This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Welcome to Detours from Matt from the News. Thank you again so much and welcome to the program. You're listening to Joy 94.9 and I'm Jody, joined by Greg and Lindsay. How are you both today?
Jody, just fabulous. And I have to admit, like I always start with a little bit of a weather rundown. I sort of left the house this morning. It was just about blown around Paran. It's unbelievable out there.
And I'm fabulous as well. I can't believe how many people in the city of Melbourne from around the world. It's like the boat that has just arrived and there's happy tourists everywhere all looking around. They can't believe that Melbourne has weather like this. And a good friend of mine, I caught up in Sydney last Monday, a Korean man. He reckons Melbourne weather's just like a naughty boy.
What does that mean?
I think that means it's all over the place.
Okay.
But we love it, don't we?
We do love Melbourne and we're really glad to be here this Saturday here in City Village in Melbourne, Victoria, Australia. And we've got a great program coming up. We'll introduce our special guests in just a few moments. But of course, we have Joy 94.9 Tech Drive 2012. And this is an absolutely essential way to purchase vital equipment. And we really need your help. So the sort of things that we want to be able to purchase are things like sound mixers, headphones, hardware, software, and design and implement a new studio to fit out to make it 100% soundproof and more user-friendly. Why do we want to do this? Well, it means that we can ensure that we can continue to provide quality production services for community groups and not-for-profits through Joy's fantastic community services announcements program and for the wonderful Joy sponsors whose paid campaigns help keep Joy on air. And you can donate online, head to joy.org.au, then onto the Tech Drive banner on the homepage, and it's easy to follow those steps. And you can do a one-off donation, or you know what, get your plastic fantastic out and you can do a recurring donation. And every bit helps. And you can also donate by calling 1300 569 949 with your plastic fantastic, and all donations are over $2 are tax deductible.
Well, there's an incentive there as well. And it is important that people do give to fundraisers like this, isn't it, guys? Because, you know, it's not just about, you know, sitting behind desks and being fabulous in front of microphones, but, you know, the machinations behind Joy and you know, unfortunately, microphones break down, earphones break down, sometimes even we break down. But all in all, you know, if you can support this, it would be fabulous.
And this is where all the community service announcements are made for the 20 or 30 gay and lesbian, bisexual, transgender, intersex groups that don't get funding. So without Joy, they don't have a voice. And without your support, we don't have the ability to give them that voice. So get on board Tech Drive at Joy.
Absolutely. And coming up later in Detours, we've got a fantastic giveaway prize, but we're not going to tell you about it now because we want you to stay listening right up to 1 o'clock. And in just a few moments, we'll introduce our very special guests who are going to tell us about this fabulous trip and fabulous performance that they're a part of here on Joy 94.9.
Turn it up. Here's another diva on Joy.
And it sure is. And that was fantastic Smooth Operator by Sade here on Joy 94.9. This is Detours.
Now stay with us. This is going to be an amazing hour. We have our guests today, Michael Try and Darren Rosenfeld. And they're both travellers, extraordinary travellers, of a bent we've never had before. They love Gilbert and Sullivan. And that's right. And they've travelled to the, I think it was the Brixton, of the Buxton or Brixton?
Buxton
yeah. Festival in, it's the 18th International Gilbert and Sullivan Festival in the United Kingdom. So we're going to unpack some of those journeys and explore the colour through their experiences here on Detours for the next hour. So stay with us.
So Mike and Darren, tell us firstly, how did you meet? And then what makes you interested in Gilbert and Sullivan?
Well, we've known each other 20 years, haven't we? Through another group, actually. Not the group that went overseas, through another group, which we're actually performing a show for the Pajama Game. We're doing the Pajama Game in July. So with this group, it's called the Diamond Valley Singers. So we met there and we became friends there. And the Diamond Valley Singers used to do always Gilbert and Sullivan's. And I'd also sung with the Savoy Opera Company, which is another institution in Melbourne, who perform Gilbert and Sullivan. Some years ago, I also auditioned for the Gilbert and Sullivan Society, which is now called the Gilbert and Sullivan Opera Company. And the director of that show was invited to go over to Buxton in 2006 to direct a show called, I think it was Ruddigore. And it was with a company called Savoynet. And this is a company that's made up of people from all over the world. And they send in audition tapes and everything like that, and they put on a show during this festival. The next year, he was invited back with the Gilbert and Sullivan Opera Company to present his version of Patience, which went very well, and they actually came third in the festival. And so on the back of that, he was then invited again, and that was last year. We took over Yeoman of the Guard to perform in the competition, because it's actually a competition, and alongside that they run a fringe festival. And when we did the Arcadians back in 2010, when they heard that we had done that, they said, can you bring that as well? And we're going, we've got to take two shows. Oh my goodness.
Whoa, that's a lot of luggage and makeup and wigs and things, isn't
it?
Oh
boy. And big dresses and lots of words.
Oh well, no, and that was only the guys, come on.
It was funny because when we went across, we had one of Michael's boots in my bag and one in his. So,
so you wouldn't want that suitcase to go astray.
No, that's right, yeah.
So how do you plan for travel, but not just travel, travel with an operatic passion at the other end?
With all those costumes, and must have been a nightmare.
Well, luckily, we made a big stand and said you've got to send the costumes over via a big crate, which is a very costly thing to do. So, but we couldn't have put four or five different costumes in our luggage. That would have been it. We wouldn't have had any room for clothes. So we did all that, but we did take bits and pieces and odd bits ourselves to do that. So it's still a big task. I still had to take a whole costume over. I was playing the role of Leonard Merrill in Yeoman, so I still had to take that costume over. We hired the costumes for the Yeoman themselves over there, which was great. And then there were three costumes we had each in the Arcadians. So they went over, luckily, on the boat way beforehand. So yeah, everyone basically organised their own accommodation and everything like that. A lot of them stayed in the university. They have dorms there, and a lot of them had that. We had decided late that we were going, and we were told, oh, there was no accommodation. So we basically searched everything ourselves, and in fact, we came up with a beautiful bed and breakfast in Buxton, which was just terrific. It was actually a hotel, but it was like a bed and breakfast, and it was actually about roughly the same cost as what they were paying, so we were quite pleased with that.
Now, how do you get to Buxton? Where actually is Buxton?
Yeah, I was going to ask that, because every time you guys say Buxton, I think Bristol and go, ooh.
Yeah, no, definitely. Buxton is...
It's in the High Country.
Yeah.
It's, in
North?
The Lakes District, I think.
It's in the Peak District.
Peak District, yeah.
Just below Manchester.
Oh, okay.
So you sort of go, we actually, what we did was that we booked a flight to, we actually flew to Paris. Am I allowed to mention airlines? We flew with Korean Air, which was like, who the hell is Korean Air for starters? And what have I done? And then found out, oh, yeah, it's a four-star airline, just like Qantas and all the others. So, okay, that made me good. And I can tell you the flight was terrific. The service was terrific, and the amenities we had on board were great. And we got it for a very cheap price too. We actually got it. We got about $1,400 each return at that time of the year, whereas most people were paying about $2,000. So we scored it luckily. We did everything on the internet. That's a lot of work to do it on the internet. Many hours of searching, all the accommodation we booked on the internet, and not once did we have a problem with getting to a venue and saying, no, we don't have your booking. So that was my biggest fear, was getting there and going, What? You don't have it? Oh, no.
Absolutely. I know a lot of people feel the same way when they're booking online, but that is, I guess, the modern way of doing things. Now, Darren, how were some of the preparations for you about this trip? I mean, obviously, we've talked about the logistics of the costumes, but mentally, I mean, going into a competition like this, what were your thoughts?
Oh, I was looking very much forward to it. I've been performing for a long time too. Even before I met Michael, I was doing a little bit of performing. But to be in a competition is just incredible. But, yeah, it's a lot of work, believe me, because it is a competition. The Acadians wasn't part of the competition, so we sort of had a lot of fun with that. Yeoman was a totally different kettle of fish. Because it was a competition, you had to work and work and work. And, yeah, it's a lot of work. And even before we went, there was a heck of a lot of rehearsals beforehand, and that took up a lot of time. And in between time, we had to try and arrange this trip, because originally, as Michael said, we weren't going for financial reasons as well. And then we discovered this cheap airfare and decided we were going to go. So trying to tie all that in with all the rehearsals, getting over there, getting accommodation is a lot of work. But we got there, and I was very happy.
I think it's great. I mean, can you sing any songs of Gilbert and Sullivan? Would you like to do something on mic?
You've got to say that.
I promise.
You?
I, yeah. Now, look, if you're a keen, what's your favourite Gilbert and Sullivan opera? Why don't you SMS 0427 569 949? That's 0427 JOY 949. Or you can SMS Lindsay. What is it?
Oh, now you're throwing me right in. Now I have to look for the SMS. It's 0427 JOY 949.
Or on air at joy.org.au.
Yes, or there's that oldie worldie carrier pigeon that'll get the message here, you know, maybe even quicker. But guys, I was just going to ask, like, Gilbert Sullivan is so ye olde worldie, you know, like you really don't hear it very much now, except for maybe light opera companies, you know, suburban light opera companies and the odd show at, you know, the State Theatre. Are there very many young people involved? Where, you know, like going to England, seeing it from a different perspective, is there a lot of sort of young people sort of getting involved and thinking it's a bit quirky, or is it dying out?
It's a bit funny. When you look at the audience, you go, okay, in about 20 years' time, a lot of these people may not be around anymore, and you think it's sort of dying. But they actually have a youth festival as well at the same time, so there's a lot of promotion of trying to get kids involved over there. I'm not sure about here so much. But over there, yeah, there's a very, very big bent on the youth festival as well. So it's a way of trying to keep the works alive. It's a different style of singing than your American musical theatre style, which is the much more popular style at the moment. You know, if Clock Music Theatre will put on Miss Saigon or Les Mis or something like that, you know, they'll sell out. Whereas other companies, the ones that we've been involved in, we struggle to get audiences because, yes, they are ageing. And even the cast members that we get in, they're very, nowadays, you don't have a core of people that would stick around and be in the chorus anymore of it. People come and go all the time now. And you'll get some young ones, but just for the experience, they might be studying music and the teachers will say, oh, go and do this kind of show. This will be good for you. But they don't stay around. They'll do one show and then they're off doing the next thing, and that's fine too, because I don't like to repeat too many shows as well. I like to keep having newer experiences as well.
Here in Australia, we used to lead it with celebrities and musicians like John English, I think, from years ago. Yeah. Used to get into Pirates of Penzance. We had TV and theatre merging with Gilbert and Sullivan. Do you see that in England? Do you see personalities from the stage and screen that come across into GNS because they're personalities? Or is it very much different to Australia's past experience with GNS?
No, I think it's fairly much the same. I mean, if you've ever seen, Eric Idle did The Mikado, a very famous production like that, and I think they do get that sort of, some of those people. I think the stars over there are more into pantomimes. All the big stars will do the pantomimes, probably as opposed to a GNS. So, but they still do have like that. They will get some of the big stars to perform.
Now, those voices are Mike Try and Darren Rosenberg, who have travelled to Buxton in the UK for Gilbert and Sullivan Festival. Stay with us on Joy 94.9 with Detours.
The fresh sounds of Joy 94.9.
More of your favourite shows.
Joy 94.9.
And you might be listening and waiting for a train somewhere around the world here on Joy 94.9. This is Detours. I'm Jodie, joined by Lindsay and Greg. We've got very special guests with us today, Mike and Darren, talking about their amazing trip to the UK, to Buxton, to the Gilbert and Sullivan International Festival that they competed in. And if you've been listening and you're wondering how we make this all work here at Joy, well, we can't do it without your support, and we'd love you to make a donation today. We have a target this weekend. It ends midnight Sunday, April the 1st, of $15,000 for donations to keep us on air and enable us to be able to make vital improvements to equipment in our Studio 4. And it's really important so that we can actually continue to do production of services of for community groups and not-for-profits, and that includes community service announcements. And we heard one before, that was from WIRE, the Women's Information Referral Exchange. There's a bunch in there as well. And it's really important that the gay and lesbian, bisexual, transgender community can have their voices heard on Joy and the vital services promoted through those CSAs. So you can ring now, or you can go online at joy.org.au and just follow the prompts there for Tech Drive. And you can ring as well, 1300-JOY-949. Your donations are really vital. Detours is actually going to donate $100 this show, and we want you to match it, and we've got till 1 o'clock to do that.
Oh, that's fantastic. Now, also, stay with us, because you too can join a bit of a prize in the second half hour of Detours. Thanks to Phillip Island Nature Parks, we've got a pass for 2 adults and 2 children, family pass, 3 park family pass, valid at $92, and it's for 6 months, and you can get into the world-famous Penguin Parade, the Koala Heritage Farm, and the Churchill Island Heritage Farm, as well as the Koala Conservation Centre. I mixed them up, didn't I? But it's a fabulous place, at Phillip Island Nature Parks, and you can stay with us for the second half hour to see that. Also, bananas and pyjamas.
But yeah, I know, bananas and pyjamas will be there. So if you've never seen, this is your perfect opportunity to jump online or give us a call and win that prize. But I cannot believe, you guys, that I have actually spoken to people in Victoria who were born and raised in Victoria and have never been down to the very famous Penguin Parade. And I find that just so incredibly hard to believe. So apart from anything else, if you've never been to Penguin Parade, you must go and do that. And Phyllis Island, as some of my friends call it, Phyllis, is a fabulous place to visit anyway.
Oh, fantastic.
My try and Darren Rosenfeld. Have you been to Phillip Island?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Have you sung Gilbert and Sullivan in Phillip Island?
I have.
Actually, we have.
Yeah. Yep, we have, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, we have.
Whereabouts?
In Cowes. I did Cows. In Cowes.
It was Cowes. I can't remember the venue, but no, it was with Savoy Singers, another group.
How nice. That's one of the wonderful things about, you know, when people join, you know, community groups or, you know, local acting groups, things like that, is you do actually get around and see places that you wouldn't normally sort of go to, I guess.
Yes, you do, yeah.
Well, we took Yeoman up to, what was that place called, Matoa. Matoa, yeah. For a night. So that was really interesting. Little hall up there today. Got a nice stage and everything. We stayed in this really old pub up there, which was another experience.
Fabulous. Now, you mentioned before that the festival was held in Buxton. Tell us a little bit about Buxton, because, you know, we believe that Buxton does have a bit of a history. It's not a new estate, so to speak.
No.
It's actually a settlement was created during the Roman times up there when they discovered there was a spa. It's actually another spa town, just like Bath. Not as famous as Bath. And so the Romans were there, and there it was obviously a little settlement, and it was obviously there for military purposes as well and whatever. And then I think through the Middle Ages, people still went up there because there was a bit of a spa. And even in Tudor times, Mary Queen of Scots was known to visit there as well. She was actually being held captive in Chatsworth House, which is this magnificent estate just, you know, a couple of kilometres away from there. And then it actually sort of got a big revival in the Victorian times because spas became very the in thing to go and take the healing waters of the spa. And Buxton went through some magnificent building there, and it's just the most magnificent buildings that you'll see up in that area. Then it sort of went into decline, like I think a lot of things in Britain did through through the middle part of the 20th century, and it wasn't until the 1980s that they restored the Opera House there, where the festival's held. And this is most magnificent opera house, built at the turn of the last century, and it's seats about 900 people. It's just beautiful. It's one of those really old-fashioned ones that you see on TV with the ring, the seating, and it's just magnificent. It's incredible. It's beautifully restored, and that's where they obviously started doing this festival. They have an operatic festival. They have international things going on there actually all the time. It's very surprising. It's about 30,000 people who live in Buxton, but there's something happening all the time.
So standing on stage, if I can ask, standing on stage in the middle of that circular amphitheatre, in effect, what's the sense you get? What's the feeling you get from being on stage in such an old venue?
No, it's incredible. It's like you're looking up into the gods, people sitting right at the very top, like four tiers high, obviously, and I don't see that here. And it's just amazing to look up and see, like, people all the way up to heaven. It's just incredible.
And it's a different experience, amazing, too, because you've got to remember that you've got to sing to those people who are right up the top. Which is really, which is different from here. We you know, we might look at the balcony, sort of that area, and but you've got to look even a little bit higher than you do. So it's a different feeling. Again, it's an awesome, intimidating feeling sometimes just to walk out there and you've got 900 people just standing at you, or staring at you, sorry. But it's incredible. It really is.
And the sound of the applause when they show their appreciation, yeah. What's that like?
The applause is
amazing.
The best thing.
It is, definitely. Especially when they're all standing, like standing ovation sort of thing. Like even when we did the Arcadians where people standing, it was just amazing.
Mm.
Now, I wonder, is the preparation for an event, a festival like this, a little bit like an Amway conference? Like, you know, do they have networking events to bring you all together? You know, do you have functions, or do you all just go and put your lippy on and then get on the stage?
I'm sure there's a lot of work that goes on behind the scenes, and there's a lot of negotiating that goes on and things like that. I wasn't privy to much of that information, but I do believe there was, not just for us, but for, because there's a lot of other people involved. You've got technicians involved, you've got to pay them, you've got the rent of the Opera House, of course, there's the city itself. There's so many things I think that they've got to negotiate and work their way through. So I'm sure that there's a very large network.
Yeah, but did you get the opportunity to speak with the other performers, or were you all just so busy focusing on your own preparation?
Oh, well, we get there as a group. The first day we got there, we actually had a big lunch with the whole, practically the whole cast, didn't we? It was the whole thing. So that was really good. So we had sort of things before we left, and then when we get over there, they made sure that we all met up the day we got there so that we could all speak to each other and see what funny things happened on the way or whatever. And then from that time, you sort of, even though your accommodation's separate, we stayed in this bed and breakfast. Everyone else stayed in, like, the dormitory area. But so they were sort of a bit more together. But you still, because you meet up every day, you're all together anyway, basically. So, and because we were rehearsing from 9 in the morning till 5 in the afternoon, basically, some of us went off and had dinner together, others we went separate. But it's really important to get that all the people in the cast together and make sure that there's no trouble between people, which there wasn't in our shows, which was really good, because sometimes, you know, do a show and there's trouble between cast members, but we didn't seem to have any of that, which was great.
But in relation to other people, other groups, no, we didn't get a lot of chance to mingle with them because we were rehearsing the whole time, and they'd be rehearsing in their venue, and so, like, there's venues all over the place where people would have been rehearsing. And
we did used to see them occasionally rehearsing in one place,
and they'd sneak in and have a look
at us, and we'd see, like, a set being built, and we'd say, oh, that looks interesting.
Maybe,
like,
they're checking out the competition.
Exactly. Yeah, I think a lot of that.
I really have to ask, like, you know, I'm not an expert on GNS at all, but I have seen the bits and bobs, and I find them incredibly camp, I have to admit. But knowing GNS, like, the costuming, the music, and basically your performance, and they are so wordy, these songs. I mean, it must take you years just to learn one song. But how on earth are you judged? Like, is it you can remember the words, you get 10 points for that, and nice shiny buttons on your costume or something? Because it
comes down, they do judge you on costumes. They judge you on the whole thing, the lighting, particularly the costumes, how good the voices are. Because the girl we performed with won Best Voice of the Festival, which was real good. Mm-hmm. And there's a whole lot of different criteria that they judge you on. So it's not only, and also the set and the whole lot. It's not just one aspect of the show. So it might be everything. In actual fact, in Yeoman of the Guard, one of the criticisms we had was about the ladies not having their hair a certain way to suit that period of time. So there wasn't a lot of criticism, but that was one of them. But, you know, when you're dealing with ladies that have their hair down, you know, trying to get it all ready every morning, all that's very hard. But
also in that criticism too, she went to the point of individual people on stage in the chorus. She was noticing different characters of those people, and she commented how good that was. So she's looking at it overall, whole picture as well, how well they acted as well. Did they deliver the dialogue maybe the way she wanted? Remember, we've got one judge, so it's a bit subjective in a way. And she's a former performer with the Doily Cart Opera Company, so she knows Gilbert and Sullivan backwards, so, you know, things like that. But yeah, so she goes into the minute details of looking at things, but, you know, our lighting wasn't all that particularly good, and people were like in shadow, so they weren't performing Phantom of the Opera. It was, and she said, like, they've got all this wonderful action happening, but I can't see the faces, you know, I can't see the story being told to me. So, and that's fair enough, because we've watched the video and go, yeah, you can't see them. Where are they?
Now, that voice is Michael Try and Darren Rosenfeld here, guests on Detours with Jodie Lindsay and Greg today, talking about their fabulous journey to Buxton in the United Kingdom for their Gilbert and Sullivan. Oh, it's not just a fetish, it's a lifestyle. Joy 94.9, stay with us.
Hi, I'm Cyndi Lauper, and if you just want to have fun, do you? Keep listening to Joy 94.9.
Go on, have a little peek at this. Joy's new iPhone app, Joy 94.9.
Diversity? Check out Weekends on Joy.
That track was Roy Orbison, I Drove All Night. Here on Joy, we're with you to 1 o'clock. On the Detours Travel Show, Jodie, Lindsay and Greg, our special guests are Darren and Mike. Now, did you actually win this competition? I mean, let's cut to the chase.
No, we didn't actually win. No. But as I said, the girl, Amy?
No, our lead soprano who played the role of Elsie Maynard in The Omen, she won the best female vocal of the championship, which was great.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic. Well, it sounds like to me that winning wasn't your objective of going there, that the whole experience and being able to participate and do the two performances of The Omen of the Guard and The Arcadians sounds fantastic.
Yeah, they were very different. As we talked about the pressure of being in a competition before, the Yeoman, the Arcadians was very much a light-hearted affair. We performed that in a separate auditorium to the Opera House, to about 450 people each performance. It was all very tightly put together. We actually had an international conductor and an 11-piece orchestra playing for this, which was absolutely fantastic. One of the girls played double bass in the London Symphony that came along. The sound was just magnificent. We're standing backstage going, and they're playing it for the first time, and it's like, it sounds like a recording. They're just so good. So that really just, you know, made it so special. And then you get into the Yeoman of the Guard one, and it was probably just more pressure, and the director's a little bit more tense because, you know, you've got to get that right, you know, they're going to crucify us on that, all that sort of stuff, you know, so it gets a little bit more tense on that one. So perhaps the enjoyment factor, not quite the same, but still magnificent when you walked out on that stage and you've got this just magnificent place that you're performing with, that magnificent orchestra that's playing for you and everything like that. So both, you know, were terrific. And Arcadians did go so well. It was basically the hit of the festival. People talked about it for, you know, a week afterwards. Every time we were stopped in the street, they just kept telling us how much they loved the Arcadians. They hadn't seen it in Britain since the 50s, I think.
I think it was done professionally in 1956. I think was the last time it was done professionally. So
people may not know the Arcadians very well. Any classical people out there will know the song called Pipes of Pan. That comes from the Arcadians. It's a very famous aria sung. June Bronhill was one of her regular songs. But it had so many catchy tunes in Acts 2 and 3, so people loved it. So it was an incredible experience there. And after that, we had a week in London and a week in Paris to wind down and and do the sightseeing stuff after that.
See, now you're talking, when you mention Paris, my heart just goes, oh, you know, because that's my most favourite city in the world.
I was actually talking to a friend online the other night who lives in London, gorgeous guy, Jonathan, who I used to share an apartment with, and we're talking about the dumbass people who travel and don't experience things. And particularly I was watching Idiot Abroad. And I just love that show. And Jonathan was saying that he was talking to someone from the US who happened to be from the US in London, who and Jonathan said, are you going to go to Paris? You know, it's so close from London. And he said, no, it's okay. I can just Google it.
See, the other thing is, I was chatting to someone during the week, and they actually said that Google is killing the part of our brain that is the research part of our brain. Now, I don't quite know, because my flatmate and I have had a few discussions about this, but because Google is so easy to access, instead of, you know, going to the encyclopedia or, you know, however we used to research, we're now just going straight to Google and just accepting whatever Google tells us. But to say you Google Paris and that's enough, I'm sorry.
Now, I had images of you in this, in this town, this Buxton town in the UK, with lots of people. The festival went from the 30th of July to the 20th of August, so it's actually almost a month long.
Mm.
And in that town, you know, you normally hear coffee conversation over the coffee shops. Do you have little people throwing Gilbert and Sullivan at each other across the coffee tables in the town?
You do. always quips and that to come from the shows. You know, somebody say something and someone will throw something back and you, oh, yes, that's Gilbert and Sullivan.
So how many people does that town in England swell to? You know, if you've got a festival like this with a lot of players and each of the companies is performing, it must grow the volume of the town.
Oh, yeah.
It would.
I think the stable population is about 30,000, but...
I think if I remember correctly, it grows to over 100,000 during the festival, because you've got all the international groups coming in and staying there for one, then you've got all the people that are going to see the shows. So, yeah, it swells
very much. You two can join that family pass for Phillip Island Nature Parks, the three pass for Phillip Island, valued at $92. You just need to remind us of the name of the town that Michael and Darren, I'm having one of those moments, actually visited in the United Kingdom for their Gilbert and Sullivan.
So I'll give you a hint. It could be one of three B's. It could be Brixton, Buxton, or Bristol.
Oh, I didn't know there were so many B's in Britain. Or Britain, there's another one. But you know, I have to ask, because I've never been very far north in England, but I'm getting a sort of a picture of almost like a midsummer murder town. Like, you know, like Buxton being this sort of little town.
You obviously don't work for the Tourism Development Authority.
No, not at all. Pete Dillon from Cravings has just entered our studio. Give us a bit of a rundown on what's happening.
Very multicultural today.
Ooh.
I have Ricardo Amare, who's a Mexican entrepreneur, who's just opened a restaurant called Señoritas. Jane Webster's coming back in. We met her about 2 years ago. She's got another book about her castle in France, in which she lives and cooks. And Guy Grossi, talking all things Italian cooking with his new book, My Mother's Kitchen.
Oh, that'd be interesting. Guy Grossi's Mother's Kitchen.
Yeah, she's delightful, Marisa. She's a lovely woman.
Oh, fabulous.
So that's on. 1 o'clock. Tune in.
We will. We're salivating now.
In the meantime, get out there. What's the name of the town that Michael and Darren visited for the Gilbert and Sullivan Festival? 0427 Joy 949. Best to ring 1-300-569-949.
Now, lastly, we've got a few more minutes before the program finishes on Joy today. Now, have you got any other travel plans, Mike and Darren, whether it involves opera or not?
Well, we're hoping to go back to Buxton next year, just as sightseers, because when you're rehearsing, you don't get much time to see anything. So we want to go back and just have a look at sightseers. But we want to go up to Scotland and Wales, which never had a chance to do, and probably definitely go back to London.
And Paris. See everything in London
and
we didn't see.
We ran out of time. We had so much on the list, so and in 7 days, it's impossible. So
You could spend a lifetime wandering around London and still not see it all. It's just one of those places. Mm. Wonderful. So much to see, so much to do. And thanks to Detours, we put it all on your radio and bring it all to you.
Every week.
Into the microphone, please, young man.
We sure do. And actually, just on that, we're actually looking for presenters and panel operators to join the show. And you might have been listening for a long time. You say, you know what, I think I could do that. We'd love to hear from you. You can email us your expression of interest at detours@joy.org.au. You've got till the 15th of April, and we're looking to expand the family, not in an in vitro fertilisation sort of way, just more in friends and family getting on air and having fun at Joy and delivering great radio here on Joy.
And there's always a backstory in Detours, isn't there, Jodie? We've had a message too from Peter, who was our guest last week, and we did talk about Malaysia as a destination, and majority speak English. It's good food, good shopping, cheap for tourists from Australia, and the boys are hot, he says, as well. And hello to Chongi, who's over there, arrived this morning off the plane about an hour ago. It's a wonderful destination and an entry point. Could you ever see GNS making a bit of a groundswell in Malaysia or in some of the Southeast Asian states, Michael and Darren?
Oh, I don't know about that.
I believe it does. There's a new Japanese film, I think, coming out where they're doing the Mikado, a group of putting together the Mikado. So,
I actually
Mikado.
I actually taught English in Japan for a very brief time, and I did try to teach them a GNS from Pinafore. So, and they loved it. They absolutely had a ball.
They will, because the Japanese love. I mean, if you ever go to a Japanese theatre and look at the costumes and the makeup and things like that, there are, I suppose, similarities, but broad similarities, but still there with GNS.
And we want to thank Blair. Blair gave the correct answer of Buxton in the United Kingdom. So, Blair, you're the winner of that pass from Phillip Island Nature Parks, the three-pass pass valid for 3 months, for 6 months. Congratulations, Blair. You should bring your travels here onto the Detours studio someday yourself.
Yeah. And tell the bananas in pyjamas I said hi.
Our special thanks to Phillip Island Nature Parks for that fabulous prize. So you're planning another trip to actually explore the things you didn't get to see this time round. And we wish you the very best. It's been great to have you on the show. And, you know, I know that you both blushed a bit when we said, could you sing some songs for us? But maybe next time, if we can convince you to come and perform for us here on air at Joy, we'd be delighted.
We could do that for you.
Next time. Yeah, I was hoping for this time.
We tried.
Yeah, we did try. We tried our hardest. We actually tied them up into their chairs and been tickling them with feathers from their last costumes from the Mikado, but still nothing.
You can bring the whole Savoy singers in, maybe. Yeah. That'd be interesting as well.
Oh, that could be interesting, couldn't it?
Yeah, that'd be very interesting.
Well, thanks, gentlemen, for coming and joining us here on Detours. It's been a pleasure having you both here, Darren Rosenfeld and Mike Try. It's been fabulous. Stay with us. I think coming up is Cravings.
That's correct.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys. And look, honestly, that's one festival I think I would love to get to. I put that one on my bucket list. Go to a GNS festival in Buxton in Britain. And also, everybody, don't forget Bent TV tonight at 10:30 p.m. on C44, which was C31. And if you missed that, go to c31.org.au and you can catch Bent TV on Catch Up Telly. Thanks, guys.
Fantastic. Have a great weekend. We'll be back again next Saturday here on Detours at 12 noon on Joy. And don't forget to support Tech Drive if you haven't already, or else you'll be in trouble.
Yeah, very important.
See you.
Thank you.
Get more of the fresh new sounds from around the world.
Joy 94.9.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.